This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodi. In our Health and Living segment today, Dr. Nuraza Abdul Rahman, a consultant pediatric ophthalmologist from Ara Damansara Medical Center. We're discussing caring for your children's eyes. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nuraza. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Meera.
You know, it is estimated that almost half of all childhood blindness is due to preventable causes.
Yes.
Now, without good eyesight, your child's development and learning will be severely affected. Now, so to what extent you rarely think about how eyesight can affect lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have that discussion. Can you explain, you know, they say the eye is an extension of the brain.
Yes.
Could you explain to me how that's important while a baby is actually developing in the womb? If there is an impairment in uh-huh. this process mm-hmm. of the brain development, does that
yes.
necessarily mean that the eye is going to be affected?
Yes, definitely. There are conditions where when there is an anatomical abnormality or maldevelopment of the brain, the eye will also get affected.
Mm-hmm.
There are also conditions where you have infections when the baby is in the womb, and then this kind of virus will actually impair or actually disrupt the development of the eyes. And we have some form of eye and brain abnormality.
Okay. And after a baby is born, how does the vision continue to develop from there?
Yeah.
I always wanted to ask you, when babies are born, what do they actually see?
Well, when the baby is born, they don't actually see clearly. They can only see or appreciate dark and light and grayish color. This mainly because the development of the rod cell, you know, the rods from the retina is basically to differentiate colors, black and white. And only after 3 months, they start to discriminate colors because that is the only time the cones start to mature. And certain part of the retina, the macula started to mature. The optic nerve start to become demyelinated only at birth, and even that some of the eye structure continue to grow even a month after birth.
Okay. So they only see shadows then when they're born?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it is true then when people say they see black and white?
It is true.
And shadows?
Yes, shadows.
Okay. So they're very much depending on sound then to mm-hmm. recognize and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it continues to develop after they're born. When does that process stop?
Okay, as we know that the size of the eye will stop at the age of 3, but the vision will continue to develop. They start learning, the brain will start to get impulse from the eyes and they start to learn. And we learn about this development or period of plasticity of the brain, usually it stops at 8 years old.
Okay, so the eye continues to develop up to the age of 3?
The vision starts to develop, continue to develop until 8 years old.
8 years old, and mm-hmm. up to the age of 3? It's just physiological?
It's just physiological, mainly maturating and mainly for a learning process.
Okay. And most of us don't, as parents, we don't emphasize vision in that we don't check. There's a lot of talk about checking your child's hearing, for an example, when
yes.
they're born and things like that. So when do you suggest that we go and start, you know, keeping an eye on the development of the vision?
Okay, that's a good question. Now, if you know the child has a history of prematurity or any intrauterine infections going on, or we should send them early as possible. But if you know that if both parents have refractive problems, for example, high myopia, then you should get your child checked. And if you notice some abnormality in the visual behavior, for example, you can see from the child the eye is not fixing and it's wobbly or it's juggling or it's not move in a similar direction, then you should send your kids for eye assessment. And in an older child, if you notice there is a difficulty in looking, for example, they try to squeeze their eyes when look, they try to watch TV at a very close distance, mm-hmm. and they tilt their head, or what we call abnormal head posture, that is actually a good sign to show that your child might have some underlying refractive error or some lazy eyes that need to be checked.
Okay, and are there milestones in vision development we should be looking out
yes,
for?
I always tell my patient to actually be concerned and look at how your child sees. Usually a baby by the age of 3 to 6 months, they should be able to look and follow toys, you know? And then by 9 months old, they should be able to pick up small toys like Mentos or Raisin. The problem is that we never check the eye individually. Okay, we always assume that both eyes are normal.
Yes.
It's best for you to cover one eye and check what is the vision like and test the eye at the same time.
Okay, none of us did that. I'm pretty sure of that. Between genetics and the environment or lifestyle factors, which do you think has a stronger influence on a child's eyesight?
Okay. Genetic-based influence, because it carries with you, with your kids. You know, if your husband and your wife have that, most of high percentage of the kids will have the same eye problems. Okay. But as we know, environment factors is also important. Because environment factors is the only factor that is modifiable, that we can change and we can modify to actually helps in progression of these eye problems.
Okay, so if you are aware, then you want to bring it up to the pediatrician?
Yes. For example, if you see nowadays people are looking at the smartphone and the gadget, and then the lack of outdoors activities, staying indoors, those are the risks of getting progressions of myopia or short-sightedness.
Okay, are you seeing many of those cases?
Yes, in Malaysia. There's a study done in Malaysia showing that about 1 in 10% of our preschoolers are basically have poor vision, and majority of them is having uncorrected and undiagnosed refractive errors.
What does that mean?
If you look into Sugamat eye studies that was done in 2015.
Yeah. A Sugamat pediatric eye disease study.
Yes. Yeah.
They found that vision problems among Malaysian children are relatively higher compared to that of other countries.
Yes.
And you said refractive problems. What are some of these refractive problems?
Okay. When we talk about refractive problems, they are conditions like myopia or short-sightedness, hyperopia or long-sightedness, and astigmatism. Astigmatism is basically a refractive error that arises from a different curvature of the axis of the lens from the cornea. So from Sugamat Pediatrics Eye Disease Study, they found that 10% of school children were found to have lazy eye or amblyopia, and 84% of it arises from refractive errors, mainly astigmatism.
Right, and what are the factors that seem to be contributing to that?
Astigmatism, most of the time, is natural. It's just that we don't know whether a child has astigmatism or not, unless they inhibit or unless we are concerned enough to see whether they have abnormal visual behavior.
How would you best describe what astigmatism is?
I will explain to my patient. Astigmatism is mainly when you're, for example, you're looking at football. You know that the curvature of each meridian is the same. Mm-hmm. But astigmatism occurs when you are dealing with different curvature. For example, a rugby ball, you have one axis longer and one axis is actually flatter. This will cause a different focal point at the back of the retina, and therefore it causes blurring of image.
I see. Okay. And you seem to be seeing a lot of that now.
Yes.
And
it is quite common.
Because?
It is natural.
Nothing to do with staring at gadgets or...
No.
Okay.
Nothing to do with
that.
There are conditions where we see a lot of time, a child frequently rub their eyes, you know. They tend to have astigmatism. Because of frequent rubbing.
But why Malaysian children? I mean, we seem to be having a higher percentage of this compared to other countries. What are we doing wrong here?
Well, basically, it's a look into our lifestyle. Nowadays, we tend to do more near work. We force our children to read more. We force our children to study more and then to look into, to do near work, like readings, looking into computers. Those are the factors that actually cause... alterations of the lenses in the eye, and therefore it can cause myopia or short-sightedness.
So, you always talk about getting children to exercise and go out and play and all of that, right?
Yes.
Which is lacking today.
It's lacking today.
We have very sedentary children. But then you don't think of the link between exercise and the eye. What is that link?
Well, there are links to show that it's not exercise that can help to reduce the myopia. It's the exposure to sunlight. The more time you spend outdoor, the more time you spend, for example, in class, in school, during recess, they have studied compared the number of students who spend recess time outdoors and in classroom. They found that the student who spend more time outdoors has less progression of myopia or short-sightedness compared to the one stays inside.
So it has to do with the sunlight?
Yes, it has to do with the sunlight.
Okay. Who ever thought of that? We always thought the sun was bad, and here we are wearing sunglasses and all of that.
No, actually, sun is actually good for you.
It's very, very crucial.
It's very good.
Especially to children?
Yes, especially to children.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it's better to have a more structured program in school to have more classes outdoors. Or we can have more outdoors activity for extracurricular activity. And it is also good to have a well-structured outdoors weekend for the families as well. We should organize more of that.
And from what age would you encourage this?
Well, it can be as early as preschool and adolescent age, because the refractive error will start to evolve until the age of 21. Then only it becomes stable.
Okay. So if you were to start exposing yourself to doing activities out in the sun and, you know, exposing yourself to sun, it will help from a very early age. In
yes.
the prevention of astigmatism, would you say?
This is mainly on myopia.
Myopia. Yeah. What about for astigmatism? There's nothing you can
There's
do to prevent
you can
it?
Prevent it, yes. You can have to correct it so that the children have a good vision and to prevent lazy eyes.
Okay. And is that genetically linked?
Sometimes, yeah, I do think there is a genetic link in refractive errors in the family.
So we don't know why astigmatism is very common.
Yes.
Okay. We're discussing caring for your children's eyes with Dr. Noraza Abdulrahman. She's a consultant pediatric ophthalmologist from Ara Damansara Medical Center. When we come back, there's some interesting research and statistics on the prevalence of myopia in Asian youth. It's currently at 70 to 87%. That's a very high number. Why is that prevalence so high? We'll come back and find out. More up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasodi, discussing caring for your children's eyes with Dr. Noraza Abdulrahman. She's a consultant pediatric ophthalmologist from Ara Damansara Medical Center. Earlier on, we spoke about astigmatism. We've spoken about myopia and how, you know, being out in the sun can help your children prevent myopia. For an example, now the prevalence of myopia, or what we refer to as short-sightedness in Asian youth, is currently between 70 to 87%. Why is this prevalence so high, Dr. Noraza? You know, what's going on?
Okay, myopia is very common, especially among Asian population, and genetic is part of it. But doing a lot of frequent activities at close range is actually one of the cause. You know, like lack of outdoor activities, and then the child who like to read under insufficient lighting or in extreme brightness, or they like to sit too close to television.
What about our gadgets? Does that contribute to myopia?
Yes, because if you're engaged into a new work for a number of time, it's actually it can cause myopia. Because it modulates how the light is being focused and directed toward the eyes. It's like a stimulus for the eyeball to grow longer and cause myopia.
I see. Okay. And what is the ideal age for the detection and treatment of eye problems?
All right. For me, I think there's no ideal age. The moment you see if the child shows any abnormality in the visual behavior, you should send the kids to see the ophthalmologist right away. But in the school going kids, okay, once they have more works to do, more reading demands and all that, and they have problems reading, they can't read properly, they have poor performance at school, they don't do well in exam, please don't scold them. Send them for eye checkup first, making sure that their visions are all corrected.
Okay. So many of us want our children to read more now, and many of our children are on gadgets. Is there a way of balancing both? To have that sort of life as well in terms of reading and gadgets, but at the same time balancing up with other activities so that your eyesight is not compromised. Is there a solution to
that? Yeah, I always tell my patient to have this, to remember 20-20-20 rules. It's just that when you do readings or near work for 20 minutes, you have to rest and relax for at least 20 seconds and look at the any object which is around 20 feet away. It actually helps your eyes to relax, accommodation to slow down and then to rest the eye.
So every 20 seconds?
Every 20 minutes.
Every 20 minutes.
Yes, you rest for 20 seconds at least.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. 20 seconds to 20 minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
And look at 20 feet away.
Yes, the 20-20 rule, of course. And we rarely think of how poor vision will impact a child's life. Could you share some examples with us of how children have been impacted because of this?
Sure. It is not easy to handle a blind baby, you know, because we know vision is needed for development. It's not only affecting their social interactions, because if the baby gained severe visual impairment at early age, they lost the clue of learning all the social interaction, the visual interactions for their parents, and also they have a problem with motor development as well, because this child they are so scared to move forward, they're scared of the unknown. Not only that. Okay, they have problem with interaction, social interaction with others, because they do not see how's the facial expression like. Even language also be affected.
And what do you mean by severe visual impairment?
Severe visual impairment is a condition where the visual acuity is worse than 360 or only 10% of the visual field.
Okay. Is that common?
It is not common, but you can... You can find when they have a certain condition like abnormal eyes, abnormal anatomy of the eyes, and certain eye condition.
All right. But what about the other common refractive problems?
Usually, we can detect it earlier. Okay, when the child start to have more demand, schoolwork, they can't see blackboard clearly when they go to classes and all that, so it can be detected. But in the condition where there is very high refractive error, for example, very high myopia, the eye power is more than 1,000. So they might have some form of visual impairment problem because it is not corrected. And Berryman, remember I told you about amblyopia,
yes,
the brain plasticity period that you need to correct everything before the child reach 8 years. If the refractive error is detected after that, so it's quite difficult for us to reverse back the amblyopia.
Oh, really? What do you mean by amblyopia?
Amblyopia. Amblyopia is basically what we call a lazy eye.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. There are many causes. It can be deprivation amblyopia, meaning that the eyes had problems seeing because something is blocking the vision. For example, cataract or corneal scar or droopy lids that cover the visual axis. But majority of amblyopia is caused by an undiagnosed, uncorrected refractive error. Sometimes they have a high short-sightedness or high long-sightedness, or they have a different power between each eye that can cause one eye to have a slightly blurred image compared to the other. And remember, in children, they never complain because they never know what is normal for them
and the other
what
eye,
to compare from.
The other eye would compensate
And the other eye would compensate, and children adapt. You know, if they have to tilt their head to see clearly, they tilt their head. So that is what we call an abnormal head posture.
Okay, so 8 years, very crucial time, the first 8 years.
Yes, before 8 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's why nowadays we have a screening program that we try to look into this problem among preschoolers. Usually at 4 years old, it's good to actually screen the vision at the age.
At 4 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think we need a national eyesight screening program in Malaysia? And what age do you think this should be carried out?
Okay, well, actually, there is a national, at a national level, there is a program called AVIS program. this amblyopia visual impairment screening program that is organized by the optometrist unit in the Ministry of Health. They goes into a private or government preschool in the local area, and they do the visual screening among these preschool children. And they will refer those who have some abnormal visions or refractive error for glasses, and those who have some underlying eye disease, they're referred to the nearby ophthalmologist.
Okay, and do you think that's why we're detecting more and more children with refractive problems?
Yes. One thing is that there is increased awareness among the parents to worry about their kids. And they learn a lot. You know, they read from the internet. They have a lot of information from the books. There are websites and all that. So they tend to be more aware of this condition.
Are we misdiagnosing children's eye problems by any chance?
I don't think so.
Is that a common phenomenon?
I don't think so. Because nowadays, the eye care, eye practitioners are well-versed with all the instrument that we have. We have a lot of instrument to basically screen the vision, to know what is the refractive error available. And they are quite suspicious when they found something abnormality, and they refer to the patient to the ophthalmologist.
Okay, so it's pretty straightforward.
Yes, it is straightforward. Yeah.
And you know, when you, in terms of habits and practices, to nurture good eye health among children, what can we actually do? Because astigmatism, for an example, there's not a lot we can do.
Yes.
But for myopia and amblyopia, which is the lazy eye, are those the two most common conditions amongst children today?
It's quite common. Myopia and amblyopia is quite common.
Are there any others? What about long-sightedness?
Mm-hmm. Long-sightedness is quite, children, they have small eyeball. Okay. Most of them is born with long-sightedness for about plus 3 or plus 2 diopters. And it's quite common.
Meaning you can't see near, right?
Yeah, you can't see near. But as the child grows, the eyeball will elongate and the power will change. The process of emmetropilization happens when the eyeball will slowly elongate and then the power will change. And by the time the child is 7 years old, it should be zero power, or they have reached to a level, it become balanced, and then slowly they become more, short-sightedness. Depends on their underlying genetic myopia condition. Yeah.
So if all of us are born with long-sightedness, long-sighted problems, who needs intervention?
Okay,
not all
of us need intervention. We only treat for children that have problems with their strabismus, when their eyes are crossed, and then we check. Oh, it is because of the eyes accommodated high accommodation, because this is long sightedness. Then we correct that to make the eye straight.
So this cross-sightedness,
cross-eyed.
Yes, correct. How do we fix it? And can it be fixed for everybody?
Yes, it can be fixed. First of all, we have to find the cause, whether it's related to the refractive error. Okay. And then we correct the refractive error. The main principle is basically to let the eye see clear image so that both of it will coordinate to work properly. So what we need for you to have a good eye is basically for the children to develop a stereopsis or 3D vision. They need a simultaneous perception, meaning both eyes should be able to see clearly. And then they need to use coordinated eye movement. Both eyes should be able to focus, to fuse the image into one. Then only they can appreciate the depth of vision.
Okay. Are there eye exercises that are effective in improving eyesight?
Okay.
Without too much intervention.
All right. Eye exercises or patching. Okay. It is not to improve eyesight. It's only, I usually advise my patient to do eye patching treatment to correct lazy eyes.
What we do. Meaning you shut one eye.
Yeah. We shut the good eye and force the lazy eye to work. During that time, it actually helps to force the eye to see, and then to force the brain to actually work, to optimize the vision.
So I'm assuming the earlier you do it, the better?
Yes, the earlier you do it, the better.
Because you want to try and do it before the age of 8?
Yes, because of the brain plasticity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what about myopia?
myopia, basically, you can't do much. Okay. What we can do is we have to correct the vision, so that correct the refractive error so that they receive a good image.
With the glasses?
And then, with the glasses, okay. Yes. And then we follow them up. Usually, we want to make sure that the myopia is not progressed very much. Because high myopia also can lead to what we call a preventable blindness.
Are there any eyesight problems that continue into beyond the age of 8 and into adolescence that you see?
Yes, there are certain conditions. For example, developmental cataracts, developmental glaucoma, those can affect vision. But usually this patient, they come to us very early in life. And then we, most of the time, we follow them up from in the clinics and we know how they will progress, the disease will progress, and we'll take step to prevent the complication.
You know, you spoke about the lazy eye, myopia, and long-sightedness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have mentioned very clearly that before the age of 8, mm-hmm. a lot of intervention should happen in order to fix
yes.
problems because mm-hmm. of the brain's plasticity. What if it's not fixed by the age of 8? What are some of the challenges after that?
All right. The challenge is that we try to improve the vision. Okay. But there are studies to show that in the patient where the eyes has not undergo any treatment, patching treatment, there are some improvement with vision when they do the amblyopia treatment. So we do try, even though they come late. We do try. We'll see whether they improve or not. If there is improvement, we continue. If no, we stop.
Okay. And how do we reverse or manage the long-term effects of these vision problems? Can you reverse it at all?
No, we can't reverse we can't reverse any refractive error. It's natural.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even so, beyond the 8, if you
yes.
don't fix it
yes.
after that?
The treatment that is advocated is basically to slow down the progressions of myopia, not to reverse it.
So you cannot reverse myopia.
No.
What about the lazy eye?
Lazy eye, if you found early, you treat the cause, you can reverse. Only at a certain extent. It depends on the age, as I told you earlier.
How does this impact these children when they become adults?
All right. Well, you know,
what will be some of their
problems, like
yes,
if they
challenges.
Have one eye? Okay.
So let's start with lazy eye.
Okay.
You said you cannot reverse. Mm-hmm. You can just manage it, right?
Yes, we can just manage.
So in older age, will that impact the individual?
It will affect them in terms of stereopsis, meaning that in engaging or in judging distance, they might have problem with that. And then there are conditions where their poor vision eye will start to drift, okay? And they start to drift and they have squint. And they look funny.
Meaning the pupil starts to drift.
The black of the eye,
yeah.
it starts to drift outward or inward.
Okay.
So they come with this abnormal appearance. It will become a problem for them to work. For example, if they're a teacher, if they work in the front counter, sometimes they will laugh at because of their appearance. So
can you not do anything about that?
Yes, we can. We can correct that cosmetically. We can straighten. But knowing the eye is not seeing, usually the rate of recurrence is quite high.
Okay. What do you mean? You mean it will, even with surgery, then it continues to drift again?
Yes, it can to drift again.
Why?
Because the eye is not seeing. It has the tendency to outdrift, you mean. It can drift back.
So when you say not seeing, are you saying that the eye is not effective?
Yeah, the eye is not effective.
So
blind eye, the eyes have a very high power. They can't see well.
I see. Mm. Okay. Any other challenges as adults? What about myopia?
Yes. Usually, if you have high myopia, there are complications that can happen. For example, they can have retinal detachment. They can have bleeding in the macula. They can have glaucoma. Those are the sequelae that can happen in the high myopia cases.
Is the incidence high for these conditions?
It is not quite high, but usually we will tell the patient, if they have myopia, these are the things that they should look for. And don't wait. If they find any symptoms regarding of all diseases that I mentioned, they should come and see treatment early.
Okay. So if you are, as a young child, before the age of 8, if you do have these issues like long-sightedness, short-sightedness, you know, lazy eye, how often should you be visiting your ophthalmologist, you know, till, you know, adulthood, really?
Okay. Usually, if the refractive error is quite stable, it is good to have a yearly checkup. But if it is progressive, It is good to see ophthalmologist once in 6 months so that we can monitor, we can see the vision, and then if there are any evidence of lazy eye or amblyopia, the treatment can be initiated early.
Okay, so early detection, always the way forward.
Yes.
Fantastic. So, you know what? You got to join Dr. Noraza at the BFM Health and Living Junior event happening on the 6th of October, which is a Saturday, where we're going to have a one-on-one special session on children's eyesight at the HNL, at the Health and Living Junior event. And this is, of course, themed Growing Up in the Digital Age. We're going to be dissecting everything you need to know about gadgets and your child's eyesight and how it's going to impact that. It's happening from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Connection at the Vertical Bangsa South City. So visit bfm.my/health event to register now. If you want to come and ask your questions, get them off your chest right now. Thank you very much. Would you have a message for us on caring for children's eyes?
I would like to convey a message to all parents. If you have noticed any abnormal visual behavior, you should send the kids for eye checkup. The earlier you do, the better, the faster treatment that we can give, and we can prevent amblyopia.
Yeah, the golden age of 8 should be something that we all should be taking into consideration. Fix it before the age of 8.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Noraza Abdul Rahman, consultant pediatric ophthalmologist from Ara Damansara Medical Center, speaking to us about caring for your children's eyes on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.